In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear faithful, today in the Gospel, Jesus says something truly shocking. I tell you the truth. It's better for you that I go. For if I do not go, the Advocate will not come to you. And if I go, I will send him to you. Truly shocking. Because Jesus is basically saying that if we have a choice between him and the Holy Spirit, we should choose the Holy Spirit. That's how important, he says, the Holy Spirit is. The great joy, the great news, is that we don't have to choose between the two. But it's crucial for us to ponder the role of the Holy Spirit in the Catholic life and to examine whether we are docile to the helps he wants to give us to live by faith. The reality, however, is that the Holy Spirit remains the great unknown, not just in the life of so many of the Christian faithful. Pope Benedict said once, the Holy Spirit has been, in some ways, the neglected person of the Blessed Trinity. If we wish to understand the faith, if we wish to live it, if we wish to pass it on, we must allow ourselves to be led by the Holy Spirit. For us, the great unknown must become the great known, the teacher, the leader, the counselor, the advocate, the paraclete. The importance of the Holy Spirit in our life as Catholics cannot be overstated. Jesus tells us this in today's Gospel when he emphasized that it was good that he left us, because in comparison with the gift of his presence, the gift of the Holy Spirit's presence in our life is more important. That's how crucial the Holy Spirit is meant to be in our life as disciples and apostles. As Catholics, how should we be seeking to grow in our docility to this highest gift of God? The first is in our prayer. The Holy Spirit teaches us how to pray. He does this not principally by putting words in our minds and mouths to say, but changing who we are as we pray, helping us to be conscious of our reality so that we can cry out, Father. Second, we also need to be guided by the Holy Spirit in our speaking about and giving witness to the faith. Jesus had promised that the Holy Spirit he would send would teach us all things, lead us to all truth, remind us of everything he has taught us, and, as we hear in today's Gospel, prove the world wrong about sin, holiness, and judgment. We see the miracles that occurred in the life of the apostles with the help of the Holy Ghost. The same apostles who 53 days before Pentecost had left the upper room only to scatter like frightened children in the garden, now left the same upper room to gather God's children together for Christ. The same Peter who denied even knowing Jesus in order to keep himself warm by the courtyard fire, was now on fire, confessing that Jesus was Messiah, the Son of the living God. The disciples, who were too ashamed to appear at the foot of the cross, now boldly and proudly proclaimed God's love seen by Christ's death on that cross. It was the Holy Spirit that had effected the transformation from apostates, meaning those who received the faith but who denied it, from apostates to apostles. The Holy Spirit wants to work that same manner, that same inner transformation in all of us, and He will, provided that we cooperate with Him like Jesus' first followers. Third, dear faithful, the Holy Spirit wants to help us to live according to the Holy Spirit. This is a definition of a Christian life of faith. That's the biggest choice we make in life, to live according to the Holy Spirit. Through life, according to the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity wants to help us to seek the things of the Spirit, what God wants, rather than worldly desires. He wants to help us walk by the Spirit, by strengthening us to crucify our flesh with His passions and desires, so that we may be able to be other Christ. This is authentic Christian spirituality. One means by the Holy Spirit that this through the gift of the Holy Spirit. The gift of wisdom helps us to evaluate all things in the light of the truth, from God's own perspective, so that in seeing things clearly, we may help others to see. The gift of knowledge helps us to come to know not only the truth of the faith, but other truths, to remember them, to recall what the Lord Jesus, the great saints, the holy popes said or did. The gift of understanding fosters in us a deeper insight into the truth, so that in seeing the connections between things, we can stimulate others to enter into the real world. The gift of counsel or prudence helps us to order our path towards the good and to choose among various goods and to help others to do the same. The gift of courage sustains us in hardship, helping us to move onward despite our natural human fears and to be bold, because of the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. It helps us to grasp that the victory has been won and we are the witnesses of the one who has conquered even sin and death, and therefore has nothing to fear in trying to bring people the medicine of immortality. The gift of reverence revives in us the relationship of intimate communion with God and of trusting surrender to His providence. It is key so that we become a more compelling message, someone whose existence and way of life reminds one of God. Someone who sees in others no mere mortal, to use a certain phrase, but someone infinitely loved by God. Someone who sees in creation and even in suffering a mystery that can unite us to the divine opening up, to the divine opening our eyes and through us the eyes and hearts of others to grasp that the world is a church with the grandeur of God. Finally, dear faithful, the gift of fear. Fear of the Lord gives us a greater sense of our human weakness and therefore of the indispensable role of divine grace. When we live by the Spirit, we receive the fruits of the Spirit, which will obviously make our Catholic life of faith come alive and help us to be far more capable of communicating the truth, communicating a glimpse of divine reality, communicating God more attractively and compellingly to others. Just, dear friend, think about the life that would be ours if we lived with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, fidelity, gentleness, and self-control. St. Paul said, "Do not quench the Spirit, or do not grieve the Spirit of God." The Holy Spirit, for whom we need to pray with greater insistence as we draw closer to Pentecost, comes to us at every Mass. Just as he overshadowed Mary at the Annunciation, so he overshadows the altar and the priests at the consecration to transform bread and wine into the eternal Son of God incarnate. And so, the Holy Spirit overshadows the Church to make us one body, one Spirit in Christ. Pope Benedict said once, "The Eucharist is a perpetual Pentecost, since every time we celebrate Mass, we receive the Holy Spirit, who unites us more deeply with Christ and transforms us into Him." Today, we turn to the Holy Spirit, the better part, and we pray, "Come, O Holy Ghost, fill the hearts of your faithful, and kindle in us the fire of your love. Amen." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.